So, how many of you like change?
Absolutely.
Yeah? I think change came for me a little easier based upon my life in general, with all of being in the military and in the ministry and all the changes and things that happen and being moved from one point to the other. You just start to make friends and get established, and then you're uprooted and you're going somewhere else. So after a while, you just kind of get used to the flexibility of that life. But for most of us, you know, and even myself, I mean, we're creatures of habit, and we like to kind of be in a certain place of predictability and a place where, you know, we've got it all figured out, and you know, we know what's going to happen tomorrow, and we've got our lives planned out. There's nothing wrong with planning your life out. But we need to commit our ways to the Lord.
Right.
Commit our ways to the Lord.
Amen.
And submit everything by His desk. Amen?
That's right.
Bring it by His desk and ask Papa about it and give it over to Him. If you commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And so flexibility is very important for us because anything that grows is changing. Right? If we're growing, we're going to be changing. Anything that starts from a seedling, right, from a seed, it goes through a series of changes as it grows. So change is absolutely necessary for growth. And so we've got to learn to yield and cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the processes of life that He allows us to experience, the things that we are allowed to go through. How many know, once again, that the Father has you in His hand?
Amen.
You're His kid. He has you in His hand. And so nothing's going to happen to you that He doesn't know about. And at any time, He can just go to the devil, ping, no you don't. You know? But things happen, and sometimes we don't understand why things are happening, at least initially. And sometimes, in some things, I don't think we're going to know until we get to the other side. But it all boils down to one thing, and that is entering into a place of rest. Of resting in Him. And rest is a result of true trust, faith, in that God is good, that God is with me, that God is for me. And He's working all things together, amen, for our good. So, as much as we would like to have everything figured out in life, it just doesn't happen that way. And in Jeremiah, if you turn there real quick, in chapter 18 of Jeremiah, we see the example of speaking of the nation Israel, but it also has to do with us as individuals as well. This is about the potter and the clay. Chapter 18 of Jeremiah, I just want to kind of start out here as a foundation. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, and it's also, Paul had reiterated it in Romans 1:17. He says, the just shall live by faith. God does not change. Aren't you glad? We sometimes want to change God. You know, God, would you change? You know, I don't like the way you're doing things, but God does not change. But God is continually moving. He is a life-giving spirit. How many know that where there's life, there's activity? There's movement. If your blood's not flowing in your body, you're not alive. It kind of works that way, right? If you drink out of water that's been sitting in a puddle for a period of time, it's dead water. It's not good for you. But living water is refreshing. Living water is pregnant with life. Amen? And it refreshes you. It reinvigorates you. It brings life into your mortal body. Now, we've got to remain open now to what God is doing. In verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. So when God speaks to us, He usually gives us an assignment, and He'll tell us to go do something. How many of you found that to be true? That God is not passive. and we can't be passive either. He will give you, if you want to fulfill the will of God for your life, you're going to have to be in a state of readiness. Jesus put it this way, you need to be like a servant who's got his loins girt about. Amen? He's got his robe wrapped up and around himself so that he can run the race when he's called. Amen?
Amen?
So we need to live in a place, in a state of readiness and a responsiveness to the voice of the Lord. So he gives him the instruction. He says, if you will go to where I tell you, and that's to the potter's house, it's at that place, it's there, the place called there, that I will cause you to hear my words. Do you want to hear his voice? Do you want to hear his words? Do you want his instruction? He's going to give you an instruction that's going to lead to another instruction in most cases. He'll give you an assignment, sometimes a small assignment. If you want a bigger assignment, you've got to be faithful with a little assignment. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. How many ever worked with clay before, right? I did a lot of making again when I worked with clay. And even when I was finished, it didn't look good. But he's the master potter, and he made it again. It was marred, just like you and I, a man apart from Christ, are marred. And yet he is the potter, and we're the clay, and he wants to mold us and make us into not just any old vessel, not a common vessel, but a vessel of honor. He's making us into vessels of honor. Why? Because we are to be carriers of his glory. We are to be dispensers of his glory. Amen? And so the vessel needs to be prepared to be a carrier, to be a vessel. Amen? That will pour his glory into a lost, dying world. And it comes through listening and obeying the voice of the potter when he tells us something. Okay? Usually just a small thing. I want you to do this. I want you to go to such and such a place and pray, possibly. Has anybody ever heard the Lord tell you, I want you to fast and pray for a season? Sure. And so here, he says to the house of Israel in verse 6, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now, even though we are children of God through the new birth in Christ, how many know that you can abort God's purposes for your life? How many know that there is a high call for you? How many know that God has a plan for your life? But there has to be a cooperation for that to be fulfilled. We must be in the race. We must be focused on the prize, Jesus Christ. Amen? And we need to get all the junk out. Amen? Set aside all those things that are going to hinder us in our run and our race so that we will reach the finish line in the appointed time that God has given us on the earth. If you're in a race, amen? There's no time to sit on the sidelines and eat popcorn. We need to be busy. We need to be in the race. We need to be focused on the Lord. We need to be in a state of readiness as the servant and wait for the instruction of the Lord. And when he says go, it's time to go. When he says settle, sit, it's time to settle and sit. Amen? Because it's usually in the times of quietness and unrest will also be your strength. So there's times when God just wants to pour into us. There's a time when we can just sit back and relax in his arms. Amen? And just let God fill us. Fill us. Hallelujah. And refresh our soul. So it's not about just being busy. It's about being obedient. We can be so busy and yet disobedient. Because we're being busy about things that God didn't even tell us to do. They may be good things but not right things. But we want to be doing the things that he says. Amen? So there's a time when God gives you a sabbatical and he may not be telling you much to do about anything. I mean, you know that his kids have the freedom to play underneath his roof. All right? We need to play right and play good. Behave ourselves as good children of the light, right? But we have freedom in the Father's house. Amen? Under the shadow of his wing. Amen? The chicks can brood in there. They can move around. They can, you know, rub feathers and have good fellowship, hopefully. Hopefully the sibling rivalry is minimal. But God has got an instruction for you. He's got a plan for you. But there has to be flexibility from each of us. Now, he's speaking here, of course, of national Israel. But you see how it also applies to us as an individual. Because a nation is made up of individuals. If we want to see America turn around, it's going to start with an individual. Amen? Me. It's going to start with you. It's you and I doing the right thing by God. You and I humbling ourselves and praying and seeking His face. It takes you and I turning from our wicked ways. Then the Lord would hear from heaven, forgive and heal and bring restoration to our nation. Our nation, as you know, is very quickly going down. Very quickly. We see it every day. There's stuff happening. And it's interesting. I was watching something the other night. John Kilpatrick from Brownsville was on one of the Christian programs. And he was talking about, you know, the correlation between what's happening in Israel and what's happening in America. That every time our government gets involved and doing something to Israel that God says is not to be, when we try to divide the land up, hello? Yeah. That there's a direct correlation between, because we're judged according to the law as a nation. And so when there's something happening over in Israel that we're involved with, that's telling them to give their land away, the next thing you know, you can see that Katrina was an example of that. They gave this whole area, I forgot the name of the city, they gave an entire city away. I think it's to the Palestinians. And it was just a few days, this thing just surfaced and the ocean came up and whacked. And the percentage of damage and even souls lost was considerable to that which had happened in Israel, or a parallel in the sense of the magnitude of it. And over and over and over, they were showing just the different things that are happening that are in correlation to how we treat Israel. So how many know it's very important that we pray for our president, we pray for our nation? He was also talking about the fact that they're allowing the Muslim Brotherhood now. He brought them into the White House and he's whining and dining these people who are known terrorists who support Hamas and these other terrorist organizations. And they're opening up, you know, they're just, it reminds me of Hezekiah. And just opening everything up to the enemies. And we need to be very careful that we don't believe for a moment that the Muslim Brotherhood, okay, are in any way our friends. They're not. Now, I'm not saying that all Muslims are evil and that they're, you know, they're out to destroy. But there are these groups that are. And if they truly follow the Quran and the teachings of the Quran, it teaches them in the Quran that they are to proselytize, you know, they are to win converts, even if it means by death or the sword. And if you look at the statistics, wherever the Muslim population exists, when there's only a few, there's hardly any difference. Nobody notices them. They just kind of mingle. But wherever they go, they all congregate. They all kind of click together. And as that percentage grows, they become a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more controlling. And when it reaches 80% across the board, anywhere in the earth where they've reached 80%, it's Sharia law. They have now taken over. And so there is an agenda. It's a satanic agenda to take over America as well. And you know what? The solution is you and I, as vessels of the Most High God, humbling ourselves, seeking His face. Amen? Praying. And listening to the voice of the Lord. He's asking America, he's asking the Christians, his people, can I not do with you as I did to this clay? Will you not be pliable in my hands? Will you not be flexible? Will you not allow me to tell you where you should be and what you should be doing? Will we not be obedient to our master? I'm going to tell you, this is my conviction, but the problem in America is largely due to the fact that the church has been asleep. Yes. Yeah. That the church has been disobedient. The church has made this world their home. Yeah. We love the world. And so we've got to come out and be separate, says the Lord. Amen? We've got to be a people that are separated for His purposes so that we can see His kingdom come in, amen, and His will be done. I believe it can be turned around. Unfortunately, I think that America is going to be turned around because of judgment. Because it doesn't seem to matter as long as I still got something, a little thread to hang on to. I run into so many people who, you know, they're just hanging on to that last thread. Their life is almost completely stripped. There's nothing left of their life, but they still got that thread. As long as I got that thread or that artificial security blanket, that thing that they're hanging on to, they won't repent. Come on. You talk about people hitting bottom. You got to hit bottom. And unfortunately, if we don't wake up and wake up soon, America's going to hit bottom. We've got enemies everywhere. My personal conviction is this, is I'm not going to get wrapped up and tied up and bent out of shape about all the things that are happening. Okay? Because Jesus said it would happen. Are you with me?
Yes.
What we need to be tied up in, wrapped up in, is the purpose of God. So what is my assignment? What do you want me to do, Lord? How am I going to affect change? How am I going to be a world changer? Because you have the God of the universe, hallelujah, by His Spirit dwelling within you. And there is a great and mighty, awesome Holy Spirit, amen, that is in us. And He's greater than he that's in the world. And God wants us to affect change wherever we go. He wants us to dispossess, amen, our enemies. Drive them out before us. Go about doing what Jesus did, destroying the works of the devil. And so we've got to live in a state of readiness and a state of flexibility, in a place of flexibility, so that we can be ready when He says go, we're on it. Amen? How many know that there's a window of opportunity in the will of God? God will speak. He will say go and do this. If you lollygag and say, well, one of these days I'll get to this, guess what? The opportunity goes by and you can't go back and redeem it. There are times God gives you a second chance, but there's other things that are gone forever because there was a window of opportunity. And because you and I weren't obedient, God will raise somebody else to do it. And because sometimes people will run away from their assignment because things get tough, God will just raise somebody else up and replace it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be replaced. I want to see Jesus smile at the end of the road. I struggle with change like everybody else. I'm resistant to change. But God is constantly moving us in different ways. And the reason for that is because He doesn't want us to be like that clay that was marred and dried in a marred place. Once the clay, I mean, for the most part, once it's gotten to that state, and it's especially if it's been baked in that state, it's pretty much over, you know? We don't want to get to a place where we become brittle, where we become an unflexible old wineskin. That we've kind of got stuck in a comfortable place doing the same thing we've always done with the same results and been satisfied to be skimping and just starving, if you will, when there's a banquet set before us. Now this church is not a church that starves. Amen. We like to feast here. We like to feast on His presence. And that's the life that we have. We eat and we drink of Jesus, amen, of Christ. He's our life. So we need to be in that place of flexibility though. When the Lord says, okay, change is coming, you need to obey me in this. When Jesus showed up in the scene, and in Luke chapter 6, if you turn there, most of us are very familiar with this, but let's look at this again, Luke chapter 6. He did things that were counter to what they were used to doing. They had everything predictable. They had everything in its order according to what they thought was right. Jesus shows up on the scene, and He starts messing everything up. He was messing them up. They were upset with Him because they thought that He was, you know, breaking the Sabbath. What was he doing? Verse 6, he was healing on the Sabbath day. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath. Do you see that these are people that were legalistic? They thought they had an understanding of God based upon the written word, you know. But they did not understand the heart of God. They did not really know God. They just knew about Him. How many know there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing Him? And so they're watching Him, and they had, of course, an evil motive here. They were hoping to trip Him up anyways, that they might find an accusation against Him. Verse 8, but He knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to him, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?" And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And they were filled with rage. Can you imagine this? The poor man, Jesus shows up, loves on him. He reveals the true heart of the Father, loves him, heals him, and they're upset. And discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Wow. Now, Acts chapter 10, let's take a look at Peter. Again, God does not change, but He's always moving. But we need to be flexible, and we need to move with Him. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." Now, under the law, under the law of the dietary laws, amen, they were not to eat certain things. And here's this sheep lowered down from heaven. Now, God, obviously, He knew who was doing this because He says, "Not so, Lord." Isn't it interesting that we'd even question the Lord about something He's doing? But we do. Because His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so sometimes God just messes with our mind because He does something that doesn't fit into our box. And so Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or clean." And a voice spoke to him again and the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times and the object was taken up into heaven again. In other words, God was changing things up now. God was had brought in a new way, amen? And God is trying to break Peter out of some old ways and some old patterns. How many know that in the Lord we have liberty? In the Lord we have freedom. Amen? Amen? We are actually free to eat whatever we want. Yes. But not everything is good for you.
Yeah. Right.
So if you want to live longer, you want to eat right. But you are free with thanksgiving and prayer. You bless it, right?
Yeah.
And in some cases, you know, I try to pray more often, "Lord, destroy anything in the food that's not good for me."
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it almost disappears in the plate. No. But I heard somebody pray that one time, and I thought, that's smart. You know, "Lord, destroy anything that's bad for me in this food." If we only knew half the stuff we're eating anymore, right? But what was going on here? God was changing things up. God was bringing Peter into a place where you need to understand there's got to be flexibility. Yeah. Hallelujah. Everything okay, guys? Good night. You leaving? Okay. All right. Love you. How about Abraham and Sarah in Genesis chapter 18, verse 11? Here's another one. Right? God was... again, was going to do something that was outside of their understanding. It was outside of their reason, their capacity to understand. And Even in their old age, they had been given a promise that there would be a son, amen? A promise through whom Messiah would come. And now they're 100 years old, 99, I think Sarah was. They were up there. And now they're like, huh? God, did you really? Was that you, or was it another voice I was hearing? And even when the angel came and told Sarah, she giggled, didn't she? Within herself, she thought, oh yeah, okay, at my age, I'm going to have a kid. You see, we can't limit God by our reason. We must be flexible in the potter's hands. We need to understand that God is going to often do something that's beyond our comfort zone. It's going to require us to step out of our comfort zone. That place of security that we wrap around ourselves. Often we put a shield, an invisible shield around ourselves. We put ourselves in this bubble thinking that it's going to be safe if I can just put myself inside this bubble. If I can just hide out in my apartment, you know. There are a lot of people that are bound by fear. There are a lot of Christians that are bound by fear. If I just somehow stay in this comfortable place, this secluded place, you know, where I'm not going to do good and I'm not going to do evil. I'm just going to kind of be neutral. I'm just going to kind of hang out here. Are you with me? Folks, even when you want to do that, God often is going to come and mess that up. Why? He's got a purpose for you. He's trying to get you into your purpose. Because he wants to not only use you to bring him to the world, but he also wants to bless you as a son and daughter. And when you come home that in that day, you see Jesus, be rewarded, amen, for your faithfulness and your service to him. And so God's going to do things sometimes that we're not going to understand and we're not going to like because it's making me uncomfortable. But sometimes our biggest problem is comfort. More often than not, when we get comfortable, amen, we just start to slack off. And as soon as you think you're standing, that's when the enemy says, hey, boys, over here. This one doesn't have their armor on. They're not prepared. Are you with me?
Yes.
And even though we may walk out of here tonight feeling pretty spiritual, folks, if you don't keep walking with God, and you don't keep your armor on, watch out. A lot can happen even in a day. Even in a day, a lot can happen. In Luke chapter 5, we all know this well, so well, where Jesus talked about the wineskins. If you turn to Luke chapter 5 real quick, verse 36. Then he spoke a parable to them. Chapter 5 of Luke and verse 36. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. When God saves us, he transforms us. We become a new creation. Amen? A brand new being, not a patch job. And this new being created in Christ Jesus is able to receive and carry his glory. We are, amen, able to receive the wine of his love, his presence. But we can also become sometimes inflexible as believers as well. And we can get stuck in tradition, get stuck in the way that we're comfortable, in the way that we like to do things. You know, I believe as long as we're following God in this church, that there's going to be continual change. Things are going to continue to change. You're going to see new faces. You're going to see things done a different way. You're going to hear different music. Amen? If we're listening to God. But if we start to disconnect from Him and then we get into the patterns of routine, the patterns of predictability, if we get into tradition, then we can miss out on the fresh new move of God's Spirit. When people are born again, they're coming right into what God is doing in the moment. Are you with me? The fresh move of God. And usually brand new Christians are all excited. Their eyes are wide open. They're seeing what God is doing. And often they will look around and say, what's wrong with these old saints? Now, not so much in this church, but you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes, I mean, I'm getting older too, and I can get stuck in a way that's comfortable and predictable and miss out on what God wants to do now in the moment. And so the young believer looks around and they say, man, they look like they've been sucking lemons, you know? And they're all happy in Jesus. How many know you don't have to look like that? You just need to stay fresh in God every day. Stay renewed every day. We are creatures of habit, let's face it. We like old patterns. But they have to be exchanged for the new. And I want to tell you, there are people, many people with gray hair that are understanding what God is doing today because they walk with Him. And they're willing to make the changes, the adjustments in their life to get with what God's doing. God does not change, but His methods do. His ways of doing things will, in the sense of, for example, how we're going to reach the harvest. Folks, we cannot get a banner, a Christian banner, and march downtown singing Onward Christian Soldiers. That just doesn't work, does it? People say they're not going to connect. That's not what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Jesus, He found the common Joe, amen, the people on the street. He how many know Jesus dressed like the people of His day? Now, if He came today wearing a robe and sandals, or if you and I tried to dress like that today, people would really think we're maybe a little bit, you know. We have to be able to connect with our culture. Jesus connected with His culture. And He got criticized and mocked by the religious crowd who were stuck in an old way. Am I right? They didn't understand what was going on. As this guy shows up, you know, we've been the ones in the, you know, in the seat of prestige and the high seat in the synagogue, and this guy shows up, he's hanging out with sinners and publicans, you know, and he's rubbing elbows with them, and they're liking him, and miracles are happening, and behold, everyone is going after Him. He was messing them up. People were following after Jesus. So, we've got to understand God's strategy for reaching the lost. Amen? And it's not necessarily going to look like it did 30 years ago. Or even 5 years ago, maybe 10 years. God is constantly moving by His Spirit. We need to move with Him. If we don't, we'll end up just being an old crusty wineskin. Amen? And we can lose our freshness. And when we lose that freshness in the Spirit, we lose our effectiveness. New believers come in, they see it clearly. Pay attention often to new believers too, folks. Amen? I remember one church I was a part of, and we had that very thing happening. People were getting saved. And God was doing a new thing. There was a fresh move of His Spirit. And they were all excited about the Lord. And their eyes were open. And they were just enjoying God. They began to understand that God really loves them. That God didn't call them to religion. He called them to a relationship. And that Jesus is awesome. And I'm just enjoying His presence. I'm just loving on Jesus. He's loving on me. Life is good in the God zone. They're realizing that. And then sometimes, you know, the old wineskin will get in there and they'll just start to, well, give it a few days. You'll be just as sour as we are. without actually saying that. In so many words, that's what they do. They will squash them. Now, I do believe that there needs to be training. Amen. There needs to be some discipline. But they need to be funneled. And you never want to shut off the flow of the Spirit, though. Sometimes misery loves company. And so if there's a bunch of miserable folks around and somebody's having a good time, sometimes they just, they're making them very uncomfortable. Come on, it happens. And so people want them to be as miserable as they are, so they'll find a way to squash their joy. What we need to do is pay attention to what's happening with that person and say, wait a minute, wasn't that me a few years ago? Wasn't that me 30 years, 40 years ago? I need to get back to that place. I need to return to my first love. I need to continue to stay in a place of flexibility and in freshness in the Lord so that, amen, His presence will just pour out through me and touch people. And I will be able to see through the eyes of the Spirit and the strategy of the Spirit for reaching people where they live, knowing how to connect. There are groups today that are setting up. We're going to be doing Church Without Walls again this year. But we're going to be changing it up a little bit. We're looking for more involvement. But we're also looking at a few changes to this and that. I don't want to go into tonight, but there are people that are called specifically to, if you will, covert operations in the Spirit, where they go to pagan festivals and they set up tents there and they call them readings, Instead of words of knowledge or prophecy, it'll be a reading. Because if you put Christian anything on there, man, they'll just keep on walking. So it's not that we're ashamed that we're followers of Jesus. We need to be wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. Amen? We need to be wise in the way that we approach people. We need to look for ways to connect. Jesus was able to connect with the people. And the greatest way to connect is to love. Amen? We just love people. And even if we appear to be a little different to them, they know love when they sense it. So they'll go into these pagan festivals and they'll set up and they'll do the readings, and what they'll do is they'll be praying and asking God, let the fire of God fall in this place, Holy Spirit, come fill this place. And people will walk in out of curiosity because they just got done with their fortune being read down there, whatever, or the New Age thing going on. And they walk in, it's like, oh, something different about this one. I mean, this is what they're saying. They sense just like, I think I ought to sit in here for a while. It's peaceful in here. It's not like it was out there. And then they begin to just trust God, and God begins to give them the ability to read their mail a bit, and to show them some things that nobody could have known except by the Holy Spirit or some other spirit. But if we're operating under the Lord and under His authority, it'll be of Him. And so they say, wow. And they're blown away by that. And so they say, well, would you like to know the God, that just spoke to you, that loves you so much? And most of the time they're going to say yes. Because they experience the love of God, often for the first time in their lives. Wow. But that's just an example of God's tactics, of ways of reaching people. And from there, once they're saved, once the Spirit of God comes in, their eyes are open and they see it clearly. And then they're like, you can funnel them into a church to be discipled. Amen? What am I trying to say? We as a people, we are in a movement. This is a movement, folks. This is not a thing that's kind of like in a box and it's the way it's going to be. It's predictable. We are in the move of God. We're in the move. We're in the river of God. And we have an assignment. We do have a company here. Amen. We're gathered together as a fellowship of believers in our assignment here. However, we're a movement. And a movement means flexibility. A movement means it's not going to look the way it did 5 years from now where it does today. And so we need to continue to stay flexible. Because all of us have a tendency to want to freeze something where it was. I've even heard since we've been over here, I remember how it was when we first came over, and you know what? That was wonderful. Thank God for that. But God is continually moving Amen. And sometimes when you're moving with God and you're in the river of God, you're going to find yourself in the valley. You're going to find yourself in difficult places. It's not going to be Disneyland all the time. Come on, we're like in a spiritual Disneyland some days. We're not living in reality. There are brothers and sisters throughout the earth that are dying for their faith. It's not always going to feel good. But I must say this, that good feelings follow obedience. Even when there's persecution, how the disciples could rejoice that they were counted worthy to receive stripes for the name of Jesus. Why? They were joyful because they knew that they were in the will of God. So, as any movement in every church, if we want to stay in the freshness of what God is doing, we need to move with Him. Amen? We need to stay connected as individuals. We need to stay connected to the standard, which is Jesus Christ. We cannot try to be in harmony by looking at each other or comparing ourselves to others around us. It doesn't work. I was talking to a couple, they're not part of this church recently, but I was trying to tell them that in order for you to have harmony in your relationship where you can sing together, amen, you're going to have differences in your voices, but as you sing together, you're going to make beautiful music together. Amen? But it's not going to happen because you just tried to feed off one another and make each other the whole thing. It's going to happen because you've both been tuned into the standard Jesus Christ. And when we all as individuals are tuned into Him, hello, then there is true unity in the body of Christ. And when we fall out of harmony, if we fall out of harmony within the body of Christ, it's usually because there's been a disconnect somewhere or a counterfeit has come in. That looks like the real, but it's not. We're in a move of God. Stay flexible. Stay open. Stay fresh in the Spirit. And as we do, you know, there's going to be life. There's going to be unity when we're tuned into the standard Jesus. Marriages, you know, sometimes we've tried to make our marriage work by, you know, well, work on her for a while, work on him for a while, you know, or I'm going to mold her, and she's thinking, well, I'm going to mold him, I'm going to mold him, and I'm going to mold her, and we try to mold each other. Does that ever work? Because somebody's going to be miserable in the process of being molded because they're being controlled now. It's not consensual, it's not a willing thing, it's a control thing now. But we, as a couple, this is what made the difference for Jesus and I, when we realized that Jesus first. Always Jesus first. Always pray. Always my relationship. Always my connection with Him. And then our marriage is awesome. You know, when we do that, right, honey? Say yes, make me feel good. But we stay fresh. And I love coming together with you because you are people of His presence, you know. And you're not religious. You're not stuck. But even still, even as a church here in this geographic location, if we're not careful, we can get into that place where we get into apathy, complacency, just come and do our church thing now and miss the purpose of God. God help us to stay on track, Lord, to stay connected to You. Lord, to hear Your voice. God, we want to hear Your voice. God's saying, don't look at your brother, don't look at your sister. Don't judge your brother, don't judge your sister. Look at Me. You want to know what you're supposed to look like? Look at Me, Jesus said. As you look at Him, you'll be changed. You'll be transformed. And as we all do that individually, then when we come together corporately, there's harmony in the Spirit. Yes. And it's there that the Lord commands the blessing. Even life evermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We praise you and we thank you for your goodness.